Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the FAA has the results of the Southwest Airlines safety audit, and wildlife is dying out on a California island without any concern from local residents. We have those stories next in the travel news.
The Canadian Transportation Agency, which regulates airlines, has a proposal to make airlines more responsible for delays north of the border. We discuss on our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20.
In the Sports Leisure Minute at 11:33, the headline is a new summer tour, staying three nights on the Columbia River in June.
Mileage and mattress runs have been around for as long as frequent flyer programs have existed. What are they, and what exactly, and why are they top of mind for many road warriors this time of the year? Details at 11:35.
At 11:50, our odds and ends bag includes a story on why Americans are choosing less expensive hotel accommodations and what that might mean to the travel industry as a whole.
Thank you for the pleasure of your time this holiday season. Our aim is to make you a little smarter traveler next time you hit the road. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Jamaica.
Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, my friends. Just when you thought it was safe to turn your radio on again, here we are once again. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys. From what I can tell, close to the last show of 2024. Mark, welcome to the program. Where might we find you today?
You might find me in St. Peter's, Missouri, which is a bedroom community for St. Louis. Back visiting a little bit of family before heading back to Sacramento a little bit later on today.
Well, I am snuggled all warm in my bed, all cozied up after a visit from Santa Claus. Granddaughter Evelyn had a fabulous time, overwhelmed with Christmas, as all small children are. Speaking of which, I have to mention, I have a couple of granddaughters traveling from Austin to Sacramento, and because of bad weather, their flight was like 4 hours delayed. So I made a call to our friends at Southwest and said, can you switch it to the next day in hopes that the weather would improve? And they said, no problem, Mr. Romano. We will do that at no extra charge, which would have doubled the cost of their flight.
Wow. So, what a huge favor that is, especially now when, you know, seats are kind of at a premium. So, wow, that's a really nice gesture by Southwest.
And I mean, the gal on the, she didn't even flinch. She just did it like this is something that they do every day. You know, this is a little unusual flight. This is an unaccompanied minor trip, which, first of all, is nonstop. So there isn't a lot of options. They only have two flights a day, one early in the morning and one late in the evening. And so the morning one was completely sold out, but they were able to make it happen. So thank you, Southwest, and, you know, fly the friendly skies or whatever they say.
I think that's United, dude, but that's okay. And listen, hey, tell Evelyn that if how old is Evelyn? Three. Yes, well, tell Evelyn that if anything ever happens to Tom and he's unable to be on the air on the Travel Guys on Saturday, Evelyn would probably make a fine substitute. She was helping us with it, taping an interview the other day, and, you know, I thought she was doing a fine job.
She would be more than happy to jump in. All right. Okay, let's see here. What do we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show? We bring you up to date on the travel news. And from far away with the travel news for today, here's Mark.
Yeah, hello from St. Louis, home of the Cardinals, don't you know? The FAA in July of this year stepped up oversight of Southwest Airlines. The airline had a series of close calls, mostly involving pilot error. And since then, the FAA has been auditing the airline to figure out if there are any areas for improvement. And the results of that safety audit are in. And the FAA says they have identified no safety issues at Southwest. They said that, they have finished their what's called a certificate holder evaluation program, acronym, which would be CHEAP. Southwest issues a statement and said it appreciates the opportunity to engage with the FAA and blah, 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 blah. But the good news here is that the FAA did a deep dive and didn't find anything. So for those of us who fly Southwest Airlines with any regularity, and since they make up about 65-70% of all the flights to and from Sacramento, I would say that's fairly significant news. So since they got raked over the coals when the close calls happened and when the announcement was made that the FAA was doing the investigation, I thought it only fair to give top headline to the fact that they had not found anything. So that's good news.
Yeah, good news.
Very good news. Domestic travel to New York City has surged with visitors from other cities. New York has welcomed 64.3 million visitors in 2024 from the United States. 64 million. That's 97% of their pre-pandemic levels. Most of them come from Eastern Seaboard cities. But significantly, of that 64 million, about 3 million of them came from California. So folks from California are still visiting New York in big numbers. Here's a story that we talked about in the headlines. Bison are dying off rapidly on Catalina Island. Oh. And people are not too alarmed about it. And the reason they're not too alarmed about it is because these animals are not native to Catalina Island. They were brought over there many, many years ago. Basically, the movies were shot on Catalina Island for many years. And so they brought some bison and some other animals over. There were 14 of them originally in 1925. And then the population exploded. The bison were never moved off of the island. And I can remember, Tom, right after the turn of the century, taking people to Catalina Island and doing a bison tour. Going
That's
out
crazy.
In a Jeep and
wow.
So people could see them. But in the 1970s, they started to make an effort to reduce the number of animals. They began removing and exporting animals that were sick. And then they took another step and they gave birth control vaccines to the female cows. And that only worked partially, but slowly the number of bison have been that are able to reproduce is dropping. Why we're talking about this at length on a travel show. But anyway, there's only 80 bison left. Last birth was 11 years ago. The animal species will be completely off the island in 30 years. So it was not native to the island in the first place. So that's why nobody is standing up and saying, wait, we can't get rid of the bison here on Catalina Island because they weren't supposed to be there to start with.
Yeah, well, there you go.
There's
the movie industry for you. Let's bring a bunch of animals over here and what the heck, we'll just leave them. It doesn't matter.
We'll just leave them, yeah. It looks like a good place for them. And it kind of reminds me of the guy with the rabbit ranch on Route 66, you know, that bought his daughter a male and a female rabbit by mistake, and pretty soon he had more rabbits than he knew what to do with. Hey, here's an interesting thing. Have you ever been to the town of Elk, Tom?
Is that like not Elko? Elk? Is it?
No,
is
not
it,
Elko.
Where is it? Where is it?
It's a little tiny town. I have never been there. It's a little tiny town on Highway 1, about 3 hours north of San Francisco, which puts it about as in the middle of nowhere as possible. They're about.
If I did, I didn't. If I did, I didn't notice. If I did, I didn't notice. I went right through it. There it went. What about it?
Highway 101, you might have seen things, but this is on Highway 1. So anyway, despite being home to fewer than 300 residents, Elk has a Michelin-starred restaurant.
Oh.
Also, it's in a little hotel called the Harbor House Inn. It's a 20-seat restaurant. Anyway, the reason this is all significant is because this little town in Northern California has been ranked as the number one place in America for food and wine, according to a new ranking by Travel and Leisure.
Well,
so there you go.
There you go, man.
Get in your car, and if you didn't already go to Elk or you don't know Elk already, you can bet that the number of people going there is probably going to increase rather dramatically. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But it's a really hard place to get to. Also, I'm going to guess the price of hotel accommodations there at the Harbor House are probably going to go up a little bit. Anyway, congratulations to the little town of Elk. Carnival Cruise Lines, following in the footsteps of all of the other cruise lines, says that they reported record revenue for 2024, $25 billion. That's up 16%. And they say that next year is going to be even better. bookings so far are way running way ahead of this year for 2025. If you are a sports fan, particularly a basketball fan, Philadelphia City Council has approved the 76ers plan for a new billion-dollar downtown arena. And here's a note about AI in travel. Travel industry leaders recently at a conference decided that the biggest impact of AI is not going to be necessarily on the buying of travel, but on the purchase of travel, because it's going to make it a lot easier for people to be able to sit down in front of their computer and say, here's where I want to go, and here's my age and a few other demographic items, and you know, maybe I have a little trouble walking, I need an itinerary that doesn't have as much walking, and bingo, you should have at least a draft within a matter of seconds. So travel advisors, as we move forward, are really going to have to know their stuff and know how to use AI, because this is going to become a big tool in the planning of travel. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has ordered Marriott International and Starwood Hotels, which is part of Marriott, to implement a comprehensive data security program following significant breaches affecting 344 million customers. Get your act together, Marriott. Hawaii Tourism Authority may partner with the Los Angeles Rams. That's kind of interesting. The Rams are going to hold organized team activities in Maui and other various community events on the island. Mm-hmm. And let's see. I think that's about it. That's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Don't forget you can catch links to our special guests and so much more at TravelGuysRadio.com, including podcasts of this year radio program. Well, one final happy new year from your friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. You know, they're turning 53 years now. Well, probably one of the longest running local restaurants in the Sacramento area. They're going to be closed January 1st and 2nd to just kind of catch their breath. But between then and now, if you'd like to take your visitors that have come to stay with you through New Year's out for a fine meal, have yourself a Travel Guy special, $29.95 for that 6-ounce lobster. And of course, Mark, what else can they get there at Rudy's that's kind of your favorite?
Clam chowder. The best clam chowder in town could be found at Rudy's Hideaway.
There you go. And don't forget, when you go to Rudy's Hideaway, always bring a smile, because you're going to get a lot of them coming back at you from all the fine folks that work there. Whether it's steak, whether it's lobster, you know, if you haven't tried their raviolis, they've got their lobster raviolis, to be exact,
with
a cream sauce. I'll tell you, you know, you can't beat it. Always there for you, just off Highway 50 at Hazel, Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. You tell them the Travel Guy sent you.
The Canadian Transportation Agency last Friday decided to make a move that might really help airline passengers in the event of flight disruptions, delays, cancellations, overbooking. They put forward some rules. The airline should provide meals and accommodations for passengers affected by delays of 2 hours or more, which is actually a fairly strict idea.
Well, you know, it sounds similar to what we talked about not too long ago. What is it, Rule 261 in Europe that helps compensate, demands compensation to passengers when airlines don't fulfill their duty? So maybe one more one step closer to helping us out here.
It might be. U.S. airlines, of course, are not in favor of anything that holds them responsible. And the interesting thing about the Canadian deal here, Tom, is that it also includes weather delays, which the European rule does not. So and we're talking Canada here. So weather delays, I'm guessing, happen, you know, every once in a while up in Canada, especially in the wintertime. So also, there apparently a part of this rule change in Canada would be that airlines would no longer be permitted to charge extra fees to ensure that children are seated next to their parents, which is something I apparently in Canada that they can do. And so that has sparked much frustration among families. But what's significant about this for us travelers here in the U.S., first of all, if you fly to Canada, let's say you're flying to Toronto and you're connecting to another Canadian city, well, that connecting flight is going to fall under whatever these rules might be. So the important thing here is that airlines might be accountable. And I think the reason they're including weather in this is because they can see that in Europe and also in the U.S., we have a few rules that protect consumers, but the airlines are constantly trying to do what I call a weasel. And it's like, oh, you know, this was weather related. This plane was delayed early this morning and it never caught up. And there's no way that we could have avoided this. And if you do your homework and stuff, you find out that in many cases, the airlines are pulling your leg or some other body part. And they're really not telling you the truth. And they're kind of hiding around vagaries and stuff like that. So obviously what the Canadian rule is intended to do is eliminate that. It still allows the Canadian Transportation Agency on an individual basis, and remember, they don't have as many flights in Canada as we do down here, to make individual decisions and say, no, this would not fall under this particular rule. They also are saying that there are some things that truly are outside of an airline's control, and they're willing to recognize that. But the awesome thing here is that you've got Europe, now you've got Canada. Of course, when anybody suggests anything like this anywhere near a U.S. airline, they immediately erupt and run from the room because they don't want to be held. They have never been held accountable for their actions. I mean, let's face it. We sit there at the gate and we hope that what they're telling us, that the flight will leave in an hour, which then becomes 2 hours, which then becomes 3 hours, and that they're being truthful with us. We don't really know if they are or not. And in some cases, evidence points to the fact that maybe they're not being truthful. I'm sure there are situations where airlines a situation gets worse. I'm sure it happens in everybody's job. You've got a situation and you try to resolve it and it doesn't work out and it becomes a bigger issue. But for the airlines to just hide all the time behind, hey, it's not our fault, there's nothing we can do about it, that's just BS. And I really believe that if we had rules in the United States like the EU 261 or this rule that they're talking about in Canada, that the airlines would be held responsible. And the fact that they knew they would be responsible would cause them to act in an entirely different manner. And I have to believe that their actions sometimes are incredibly frustrating to their employees, also to their frontline people, the pilots and the flight attendants and the ramp workers who get the planes off and unload them when they get in. So this, I think, Tom, is something that the U.S. airlines are going to act like it's not happening. We need to talk to our buddy Chris Elliott about this, and the ball needs to get rolling forward on this. And maybe it also requires courage from U.S. lawmakers. They would have to grow a pair and be willing to stand up to the airlines, because the airlines are going to come if anything like this was even proposed in the U.S., you can bet the airlines would come out with both guns firing.
And what did you call that? They do the weasel?
Yes, the weasel. It's called blame it on somebody else or something that you really can't check on, or you don't really have any supporting information, unless you know a ramp worker at Dulles where the plane came from. You can't really check on what they're saying. You have to kind of take them at their word. And I don't want to make a blanket statement here that criticizes everybody that works for an airline, but there are a lot of situations where people who work for airlines are not entirely honest with us, perhaps because they don't have the honest information, or perhaps because they've been told tell them this, don't tell them what's really going on.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I assume that's a judgment call, and those calls are made hundreds of times every day. But I would just like to see a little accountability. I think this is where this is going. And the airlines are going to tell you that, oh, there's just no way that they could do this. But they do it in Europe. And they said, oh, airlines will go out of business if you do this. But that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep an eye on Canada and see if their idea is a better one than what the Europeans had, because they're adding some extra elements. Hey, we have just a minute here before the Smarter Traveler segment is up, and I wanted to just mention this. This is kind of a cool thing. I put a link to it at travelguysradio.com. I don't know if this will make you a smarter traveler, but it's a really interesting topic. How airport design speeds passengers on their way. And it's a video that you can watch. It's about 7 or 8 minutes at travelguysradio.com. And it will explain to you how modern airport designs are being created to help make airports more friendly to move through. The way the designs are made, the curves, the windows, all of this stuff to try to keep people from having to make extra steps, which creates extra congestion and makes the airport more crowded. So what they're trying to do is get people more efficiently through airports, and they're using examples of airports that have been rebuilt recently. And I will suggest to you that if you look at Terminal A and Terminal B in Sacramento, Terminal A being the older terminal, despite the improvements they've made, it's a lot tougher for people to navigate that terminal than it is Terminal B, where things are much more open and airy and much more logical. Anyway, travelguysradio.com, interesting connection to how airports are designed. Quick update from your friends at Sports Leisure Vacations. That would include me. Another brand new tour is being put on our schedule. This will be available in mid-January when our next newsletter comes out. It's a 3-night stay on the Columbia River in the town of Hood River at a beautiful hotel right on the water's edge there. Wonderful spot. Not too terribly expensive even in the summertime. This will be in June. You can get more information when the tour comes out in a couple weeks at sportsleisure.com. We also make trips to San Francisco, day trips to San Francisco shows, and take folks all over the planet. Sportsleisure.com.
Well, there you go. Okay, don't forget now, links to our special guests and all the things we talk about here can always be found at travelguysradio.com. Don't forget, it's a great place also to leave the Travel Guys a question. If you got a travel question, you can leave it there on the homepage, and Mark will answer it, and we will also bring it forward when we do the mailbag here on the program. So once again, that's at travelguysradio.com. Mileage and mattress runs. Let's talk about that, yep. Mark. I've known about mileage runs. Hadn't really thought much about mattress runs, but let's talk about why that's these programs are still around and why they're important to some people.
Well, if you have status, elite status, particularly if you're high up the list with an airline or a hotel, more so with an airline, I would say, perhaps than a hotel. But nonetheless, these reward programs, these frequent guest, frequent flyer programs have been around for a while. We talk about them a lot here. They are basically managed by the entities that create them, which means that they make the rules and change them whenever they wish, which means that over time, these programs have become devalued, and it has become kind of a game for frequent travelers to try to figure out ways around them. And one thing that happens is you get to the end of the year, and if you're a 100,000 annual traveler with United Airlines and you've only got 85,000 of those miles, then if you want that status for the next year, you have to kick it up a notch towards the end of the season and towards the end of the year. This is where mileage runs come in. I did not have to do any this year. I did a couple last year at the end of the season. And what a mileage run is basically you're getting an airline ticket and going someplace that you probably really don't need to go to. And in many cases, you're getting on the next flight and turning around and coming right back home. And you might even do that. Last year on one day, I went to San Francisco twice just to get four segments.
Okay.
To get four segments and the mileage credits that went with them to put me over the top to maintain my status. And it cost me several hundred dollars to do that in a day of my time. But obviously I felt that the benefits that I accrue from the airline for that top status was worth it. It's interesting to note that over the course of the past year, airlines have changed the way that they sell first-class tickets. Demand for first-class tickets has gone up. And the prices, in many cases, airlines have figured out that a first-class ticket that is priced at $1,500 and never sells, and the seat is given away for free to a frequent traveler, doesn't do anything for them. But a first-class ticket that's priced at $800 might very well sell. That, of course, isn't great news for those of us who like to get those upgrades, because they have dropped off dramatically. The number of first-class upgrades with all the carriers has dropped off. I would say at United it's dropped off 80% over the course of the last year. So that's one of the major reasons that people do a mileage run, is because if you're higher up on the pecking order, mm-hmm. then your chances of getting those complimentary upgrades are great, and that's a big deal. You also get the upgraded Economy Plus, and your bags are free, and there are some other benefits to it. But that's why at the end of the year, when you're up short, some people will take time and do something crazy. San Francisco is a favorite from here because it's a very short flight. Another one is to fly to Denver and connect to Colorado Springs, because that's a very short hop. And then you can turn around and fly back from Colorado Springs and Denver, and you can pick up a couple that way. Also, some people will go Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego. It's possible to do that and pick up three segments and turn around and come back the same way. So when you hear someone talk about a mileage run, that's what they're talking about. Basically, making trips on an airline in the last part of the year that they are only taking in order to pick up the credits from the airlines for their frequent flyer program.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, well, you know, It makes sense. The one that doesn't the one that I'm really curious about is well, with that being a mileage run, you know, you take some extra mm-hmm. trips. What the heck's a mattress run? Do I book a hotel and go there and spend the night even though I don't want to? I don't need to. Do I have to stay over? Can I just book the room and pretend I stayed in the mattress? And let's explain, please.
An even better question. Okay, let's unpack a little bit of that there. The mattress runs, indeed, you've hit on it. That's the same as a mileage run, but you're doing it to a hotel. So you're booking a booking in a hotel to spend the night and to get the credit for staying in the hotel. If you needed 75 nights to get your status with Marriott or Hilton or whatever hotel chain it is, and you're at 72, why, then you've got to figure out a way to pick up three nights somewhere. Now, in the let's beat the system department, some people have figured out, well, I'll make a reservation, but I just won't, and I'll check in online, but I'll just never show up at the hotel. That way, I don't have to leave my house, and I can make mattress runs in three different cities on three consecutive days without ever leaving home. Just check into the hotel online, and never mind that I never came to the hotel, but, I reserved a room, and, that's what I'm entitled to. The hotels, though, are starting to say, Marriott has said, no, not so much. Hyatt also has said, you must actually check in and complete the stay in order to be eligible for the nights to earn points and receive tier qualifying night credit. No word from Hilton yet as to whether or not what they feel about. But if you book a room for a mattress run and you don't show up, then the hotel counts you as a no show, and then you don't get your credit.
Couldn't you just call a friend that lives in that area or wherever it is, and they can just go over there and kind of mess up the bed a little bit and then leave the room all disarray.
There you go. Or the other thing that many people have figured out is book the hotel down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You don't have to book a hotel in a faraway place.
No, that's true.
Just book the hotel down the street, go down there, physically check in, and go home and spend the night. The other thing is that what a wonderful treat for somebody special in your life is, book a hotel room, take them out to dinner, take them to a hotel room and do something special and do something a little bit out of the ordinary and make whoopee, and that would be a way to do it too. Another way of combining those two is to do what I was talking about, Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, spend the night in the hotel and turn around and come back the same way the other day, the next day.
So do a combo.
There are lots of
combo mileage mattress.
Yeah, right? Lots of creative ways to do this. But when you hear somebody, particularly a frequent traveler, a road warrior, talking about mileage or mattress runs, these are what they're talking about. Now, I will tell you that hotel benefits, mattress runs, hotels say, we'll give you a better room and all this stuff. In my experience, that rarely happens. I've been in the travel industry for 45 years, so I'm pretty high up the totem pole on some of these places. And yeah, once in a while, you'll get something special. But it's not like Marriott upgrades you to a three-room suite on the top floor every time you show up. You might get a room with a better view or a little higher up in the hotel or something like that. But frequently, that's what a room upgrade amounts to. They might say thank you at the front desk for being a frequent guest and spending all your money with Marriott. But there are a limited number of benefits when it comes to hotels. But with airlines, particularly with the seating being changed to where you have to pay to be anywhere besides the back of the plane, those Mileage Plus with United is, you know, $100, $150 each way across the country. So not having to pay that and get that extra comfortable seat is a true benefit if you're flying 20 or 30 times a year. And who knows, you might score an upgrade from time to time. Mileage and mattress runs. And probably there's somebody listening to this program right now who is in the middle of one of those on this day.
Well, all right. And you wonder why it's so busy in the skies. It's not just people going places on the holidays. It's those of picking up on their mileage run. Of course, if you've listened to the program long enough, you know that Mark is a professional traveler. He has a travel company. I'm the radio guy that gets to do the travel show with Mark. I get notifications from my Marriott, Bonvoy, and they say, Tom, you've stayed one place this year. You need 12 more to get a fortune cookie on your pillow or something. And so I got a lot of work to do. The final segment of our program today, Mark, you know, at the beginning of the program, I mentioned about my granddaughters being delayed out of Austin to come with a nonstop to Sacramento. And anyway, the Southwest was kind enough to move the flight one day. And it, you know, at first it turned into a 1 hour, 2 hour, but it turned into a 4.5 hour delay. If you look at when the flight did take off, ended up landing in Sacramento at like, 2:30 in the morning. Had we not gone ahead and asked for that to be changed to another flight, like I say, which they accommodated at no extra charge, would they been entitled to anything, asked for anything as a result of the amount of time that they had to spend? And keep in mind, when you fly unattended minor, your parents, your guardians, have to take you to the airport 2 hours before the flight and stay with you until you take off. So not only is it a delay for the passengers, but for the guardians that are with them, they're stuck there for what? We're looking at 2 hours plus four more, 6 hours.
Right.
What kind of compensation can you ask for? Where we talked earlier about Rule 261. Where does this fall? What do you think?
Well, currently we are seeing only very loose rules. Of course, we talked about some stricter rules that the Department of Transportation that are going into effect the first of the year. For that type of a delay, Tom, you were over 3 hours. So the airline at that point, you could have said, look, we don't want to fly and we don't want to fly tomorrow. I would just like a refund. And the airline would have been obligated to give you that. But of course, that, you know, that's wonderful that you could get a refund, but that doesn't get the grandchildren to Sacramento. You know, I mean, it solves the problem in one way. You're made whole by the airline, but because they didn't provide you the service, you know, it'd be like going to a restaurant and waiting, you know, an hour for your meal and the meal didn't come. And you said, well, this is just ridiculous. I'm just going to leave. And, you know, you just leave, but you'd still be hungry. I mean, you still would have waited all that time. So I think, you know, and we talked earlier about what the Canadian folks are doing is they're just going to tighten the noose a little bit. They're just going to say, look, these are the rules and this is the timing involved and you can't weasel out of this. So it will give the airlines don't want to write you. They don't want to give you a refund because the plane is 4 hours late because you're not happy and they've lost revenue and there are no winners there. So if we create a system that gives the airlines a little bit more incentive to be honest and upfront with people because they know that, hey, you know, we can't play around with this now because if we do this, it's going to cause three planes to go over this limit and we're going to owe people a whole lot of money, or it's going to screw up the system. So let's not do it. Let's fix it. So airlines have been much better at padding schedules recently. Frequently you have a flight that gets in 10 or 20 minutes early. How could that have happened? Well, that's by design. The airline had built extra time into that schedule so that if taxiing out to the runway in a hub airport or something like that, or they couldn't push back right away, they've got the time to still be, because in many cases, these are called out and backs, where a plane will go from Denver to Sacramento and turn around and go back to Denver. So if it's late on the way out, it'll be late on the way back, and then it'll be late the rest of the day. So in your case, you were entitled to a refund. The fact that that Southwest did something extra for you is good for them. So they were practicing a very unknown policy in the airline industry known as customer service.
How about that? How about that? You know, one of the things we thought about and we poked around but didn't know where to look, maybe you did. Like I say, this was a flight that was a nonstop out of Austin. And the fact that it wasn't out and was delayed indicated that the plane that they were going to fly on was not there. Wasn't there earlier, or wherever it was coming from, it hadn't gotten there. How do you find out where a plane is coming from that's going, that you're going to board, that you're going to board and fly to your final destination?
I'm a United guy mostly, so United has by far the best app of any airline, and you can go on the United app and you can pull up your flight, and it'll say, where is my plane coming from, and you can track that plane back throughout the entire day, even into the, I'm flying out of St. Louis this afternoon, and I started looking at where my planes were coming from Thursday, because I wanted to know if, they're coming from areas where the weather's bad or there are potential delays, because I'm an aviation geek, and that's the way I do things. I'm always, double-checking things and stuff like that, because if something goes wrong, I want to be the first guy to know so that there are more options available to me. But in this case, Southwest has just put on to their app, and just in recent weeks, where is this flight coming from? So you can't track it back four or five flights and see what it's doing all day, but you can at least find out where it's coming from and whether it's on time in the flight before. So congratulations to Southwest for adding that into their app. But the United app, literally, you can go back. I don't fly American and only occasionally fly Delta. Delta did not have that ability on their app the last time I checked, but to me, that's an incredibly invaluable thing, because in this case, your flight was going to be 4 or 5 hours late. There's no reason, even if the kids were going to fly on that flight, there would have been no reason to go to the airport and sit there for 5 hours. And if you knew the flight for sure was, still on the ground in another city, that would probably help you. Okay, let's move forward if we can here and get to a couple of odds and ends here. Tom, I talked about in the tease about how some Americans are ditching their fancy hotels on vacation. This is probably still a little bit of a COVID evolution. It also has to do with the fact that hotel prices have gone up so much. It also has mixed in the fact that Airbnb, many Airbnb people who rent the properties to others have become corporate entities, and people that do Airbnb rentals on a frequent basis are reporting more issues with, hey, you left something dirty, or you broke this, or there's a surcharge here. I know we didn't mention this to you beforehand, but there's this fee that you have to pay here, and people are getting a little bit fed up with it, and Airbnb has not been real responsive to people is what I'm seeing in the online threads here. So some people who had migrated to Airbnbs are migrating back to hotels because they say that at least with a hotel, I know what I'm going to get. It may not have all the bells and whistles, and I may not have a kitchen or some of these other things, but hey, I'll go next door and eat, or I'll eat in the hotel restaurant or whatever. But some folks have decided that because of the hassles with Airbnb, that hotels are a better bet. This is kind of an interesting situation because it's happening sort of to the middle class. People are downgrading a little bit. They're knocking a diamond off their hotel, or they're leaving Airbnb and going to a hotel that's a little bit less expensive. But yet the same survey tells us that people on the very top of the chain, Airbnbs that go for $1,000 or more a night, that the the increase in people using those over the last years, last year was 10 times that of people using inexpensive lodging.
Wow.
So what it tells us is that first class tickets are selling more. A reduction in prices probably helped that. But also people are on vacation. The people at the top are not downgrading, but the people in the middle are. So could this maybe be something we saw in the election results, which is maybe the haves getting a little more and the have-nots getting a little less and looking for somebody who might be able to address those issues. And here is just a hotel situation that, you know, and also for Airbnbs, I have to say I'm not surprised, because friends and stuff who speak constantly about Airbnbs are, their satisfaction level has really gone down significantly, I sense, over the last 5 or 6 years. There are more games being played by the people who rent the properties. And so it's kind of like the car rental companies, you know, hey, you know, you didn't bring the car back full of gas, or this ding wasn't on there when you left, or they're trying to get a few extra bucks out of you. So
one of the things I've noticed with Airbnb, I used one quite some time ago, and it was a wonderful experience, and both the booking and the staying and all of that. But I've looked at a number of different properties for the same reason. And, man, I mean, the amount of regulation or the nitpicking and all the things that you got to do and all the extra charges that go along with it just kind of make me just want to log out.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's understandable. I'm here in St. Louis, and I'm, you know, to visit family, and I'm staying in a hotel. I could certainly stay in one of my relatives' homes, but I'm just not a stay in somebody else's home sort of person. All right, here, real quickly, before we run out of time, where is everybody going this weekend? Here are the top 10 domestic destinations, and if I have time, the international ones, between December 21st and January 1st, according to AAA. Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami. Sense a trend there?
Yeah.
Those are the top three. Anaheim for the mouse. Mm-hmm. Tampa, back to the original idea. Las Vegas, Honolulu. Charleston, South Carolina is kind of a surprise. New Orleans and New York. That's Charleston's the only one that I wouldn't have expected to be on there. Dominican Republic, a couple of destinations in Mexico, including Cancun. Here's another one, Puerto Vallarta. Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, Bahamas. London, England, the only overseas one to get in the top 10. Anyway, that's where folks took off to this weekend. Our time is about up here. It's time for us to roll on. We'll be back with you next Saturday at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Happy New Year's, my friends. We'll see you next year. Stay well. Bye for now.